Blog Talk Radio.
As I rise, strength of God, go before, lift me up. As I wake, eyes of God, look upon, be my sight, yeah. As I wait, heart of God, satisfied. Your blood was shed for every moment, every moment. Your life, your death, your blood was shed for every moment, every moment. Your life.
Crush me all around me, yeah. Whoa, 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 whoa. Crush me all around me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God for those words. I know the audio isn't as good as I would hope, but I pray that you can hear those words above and below me, before and behind me, in every eye that sees me, Christ be all around me. Hallelujah. And that is our prayer today as we come before God, that whatever we do, wherever we go, that Christ will be all around us, guiding us. And we know that we'll do that as long as what we want is what he wants. And that's just the way that he does things, the way that he has set things up, that is our desires and our wants are to please him. Then he comes around us, and he is the one that people see, because it is no longer us that lives, but he that lives through us. Hallelujah. That is the gospel. The gospel is that we must decrease so that he can increase. And as we decrease, the world sees more and more of him and less of us. Hallelujah. I want the world to see not me, but I want the world to see him. Because I can't change anything, but he can change lives. I cannot change a drunk into something good, but Jesus Christ can. I cannot make someone that is sick well, but Jesus Christ can. I cannot make someone that is having a bad day have a good day, but Jesus Christ can. And I can't make someone that's made a bad bunch of bad decisions, I can't make their life straight, but Jesus Christ can. Hallelujah. So in any situation that we come into, saints, whatever the situation that we come into, we find that we can't change it the way that Jesus can. So what's the best thing for us to do is step out of the way. Hallelujah. And let God live through us. Amen. Amen. There's some people that don't really want to hear this, but that's the gospel. There's some people that want to pretend that they've stepped out of the way, but they really haven't stepped out of the way. And therefore, God is not living through them, and we can't let that happen to us. Amen. We have to be, if we're going to proclaim this gospel, we better do it right. That's what I'm saying. If we're going to take the time out and the sacrifice that is required, we better do it right, saints. And that's 0% us, 100% God. And do you think that just happens in a vacuum? Do you think that transformation of you stepping out of the way it's going to come with some pain. It's going to come with some trials. It's going to come with some sacrifice on a daily basis. But As we step out, hallelujah, as we step out of the way, rid of all mixture, because the devil lives in the mixture between us and God. And his greatest plans are conceived in that mixture. But if we step out of the way, hallelujah, then God has his way with us, and we bring forth the promises that are found in the scriptures. When we step out of the way, the promises of God unfold in our lives. Hallelujah. As we step out of the way, the one that comes to my mind right now, it says that there are... it talks about denying the power that is within godliness. Denying the power that is found in godliness. Deny the power that is in godliness, we're living in the mixture. And saints, that's what we have to not do. We can't be living in the mixture and proclaiming this gospel, because it will fail. And that's what this world is seeing right now, is a failed gospel because people haven't got out of it. Let that never be us. Let that never be us. Hallelujah. We can't be the ones that haven't stepped out of the way. We have to do what God has asked us to do. Hallelujah. Amen. This is Wednesday night petitions to God. We're halfway through this week already. It's hard for me to believe that we're here once again. But here we are. The times are going by quickly. And each day seems to just fly by. But we continue to God each Wednesday as God allows. And we'll continue doing that in Jesus' name. Amen. We are saying in the kicking off week 17. Kicking off week 17 of our 20 weeks fasting and prayer. And God has done profound changes in my life to January 1. And I thank God for each and every day of them. And I believe that it is because I've said to God, God, I need change. And he's done change, because seeking him daily, hallelujah, daily in fasting and prayer and Bible reading and filling my life with the Word of God and praying and fasting, that God has changed me. God has changed me through these days. He's moved for me in these days. Hallelujah. Amen. He's moved for me. And I know he's moved for you too, as we've moved on in this. And so, as we, May 20 is where we'll kick off our last week. And we'll go on into a different cadence in our life. And it'll be up to you where you go from there. But if there are still things you need God to do, then buckle down. And if God has already done for you everything that you need him to do in 2015, set aside these weeks to do the same as thanks. Offer these weeks as giving him thanks. But if there's still things you need him to unlock for you, buckle down, saints. Because God is listening. God is listening to our voice and our cries. And I can tell you, I'm not done asking. I am not done asking. And God is not done giving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in these last few weeks, not even a month left, but close to a month. This month of May, as we kick off this month of May, a very sanctified time. Watch your tongue. Watch your temper. Watch your judgment. Ridiculous things. But don't pay attention to him. Pay him no mind. Get those things off of your mind as quick as possible. They are distractions. They are distractions. Things might go wrong at school. Things might go wrong at work. But pay them no mind. We must press on. and get that which God has for us this year. We've set aside the first 140 days of this year to say, God, I need you. God, I need you. I need your presence in my life. And he is saying, I want to be there. Just step out of the way. Listen to my voice. Stop doing your own will. Come and spend time with me, my child. And stop chasing the things of this world that don't profit, that never will profit. Hallelujah. The more, I said this 2 weeks ago, the more that I set aside time for God, the more he says, that's right, now please give me more, and you'll see what I can do for you. And this isn't in the area of giving money, or it's just peace in the soul. Through any circumstance, any trial, any tribulation, that's what God brings. And the more that we do that, saints, we know that no matter what we go through, God will see us through. Hallelujah. We'll know that the verse in Isaiah is true that says he that has his mind upon me will find perfect peace. Perfect peace is found with mind stayed on the Lord. When your mind is stayed on the Lord, then you have happy songs within your soul just because you're walking down the stairs or down the street. There are prayers being offered. Prayers are being offered because there's no one else talking to you. And you realize your need to speak is much less than it was before. Your need for your opinion to be heard is much less than it was before. And your need to mock others is much less than it was before. And your need to cut jokes is much less than it was before. Hallelujah. Because the spirit of holiness is driving your every word and below me, before and behind me, in every eye that sees me, Christ be all around me. Your life, your death, your blood was shed for every moment. Every moment. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want us to listen to a clip from earlier in the month of a Messianic Jew who went before the UN and gave this speech. I want you to hear it, because it's going to be some of the things that we pray about. Now, not specifically what he says, but I want you to hear it, because there's some things in there that are letting you know the signs of the time. Because what he said is true to some degree or another. And the response that he's asking the UN to give is not going to happen according to the word of God. At least for the true believers. That's the part that, you know, the Bible is true, and his plea is kind of one that, you know, probably isn't one that should be made, because the Bible says these things are going to happen. And it is for these days that we're going through, or even more so, that we need to be prepared. But I want you to hear what he said, and then we're going to look at the Bible. And we'll pick it up from there. So listen to this, Jonathan Kahn. This is April 17th, and he's a Messianic Jew. I want you to hear what he says to the UN, and then we'll pick it up from there. So just listen for a bit. Amen.
It is April 2015. 70 years ago, this month, this spring, the concentration camps of the Third Reich were liberated. In their liberation, the Allies forced the nearby townsfolk to walk through the camps to face the depths of the horror that Nazism had led to. But for most of those who lived in those towns by the camps, and for that matter throughout Germany, it wasn't unexpected. It was well known that Jews were being hunted down and taken into cattle cars to concentration camps where horror and likely death awaited them. They knew it, but did nothing to stop it. They themselves weren't in danger. Why should they have risked their comfort, their safety, and their well-being for those who were? But when they walked through those camps in the spring of 1945, they were forced not only to confront the evil of Hitler and the evil of Nazism, but the evil of their own. Because in the end, it was their guilt that was the critical and deciding factor. Without their silent complicity, without the sin of omission and self-interest, the mass murder of 6 million Jewish men, women, and children could never have taken place. In 1964, in the city in which this gathering has convened, a young woman named Kitty Genovese was approaching her apartment door when she was attacked by a man wielding a knife. The young woman was brutalized over the course of approximately 1.5 hours. At least 12 people heard her screams or saw parts of the attack during those 30 minutes, but the majority did nothing to help her. Some weren't sure what the screams outside their closed windows were, but they never bothered to find out. It was cold outside, and they were comfortable in their warmth of the apartment. One neighbor who actually saw the attack pondered whether he should even bother to ask another neighbor to call the police. His explanation was, "I didn't want to get involved." As a result of the bystanders of this city, the life of Kitty Genovese was violently snuffed out outside her apartment door. And now, as we meet in the city of that crime, another crime is taking place outside our closed windows. 70 years after the bystanders of Nazi Germany walked through the death camps of the Holocaust, another Holocaust is underway. Again, it involves a satanic hatred, violence, sadistic cruelty. Again, it involves an innocent people marked for destruction, the followers of Jesus, known as Christians throughout the world, who are taught when struck to turn the other cheek, when cursed to bless, and when persecuted to forgive those who oppress them. It is these who constitute by far the most persecuted religious group on earth. They're oppressed, they're afflicted, they're hunted down, they're killed, men, women, and children, the sacrificial lambs of the modern world. We meet today in the world's most revered gathering place of nations. And as kings and leaders and ambassadors and delegates convene here to discuss world issues, within the border of over 60 of those nations, Christians are being persecuted by their own governments or by those in whose midst they live, from North Korea to Iran, Afghanistan, Syria, Nigeria, Iraq, Pakistan, Vietnam, Indonesia, and many more. In North Korea, Christians are imprisoned, sent to labor camps, tortured, and killed for the crime of owning a Bible. In Nigeria, entire Christian village populations have been massacred. In India, 70,000 Christians have been forced to flee their homes. In Syria, 80,000 Christians have been, quote, cleansed from their homes. In Indonesia, Muslims have put 10,000 Christians to death. And now, after almost 2,000 years, some of the most ancient Christian communities, from the Copts of Egypt to the Nestorians and Assyrian believers in Syria, to the Chaldean and Assyrian believers of Iraq, are in danger of extermination. As the evil of ISIS and its allies sweep across the Middle East, an ancient civilization is being annihilated. Its people are perishing, crucified, decapitated, and buried alive in their ancestral soil. Not long ago, the vicar of Baghdad recounted how ISIS ordered 4 Christian children to renounce Jesus and follow Muhammad. "No," they said, "we love Yeshua. He has always been with us." Those were the last words the children ever spoke on this earth as ISIS beheaded them. We hear the accounts of the Christians of the first century led into Roman arenas to be torn apart by wild beasts. We ponder how savage and barbaric those days were. We wonder, what would we have done had we been there? If we had lived in those days and could have saved the lives of the innocent, would we have saved them? The truth is, we do live in those days. Those days are now. More Christians have been persecuted, brutalized, and killed in the modern age than any other. Every year, Tens of thousands of Christians are dehumanized, tortured, killed. Over 100 million Christians live under the darkness of persecution. It is the modern age which holds the most savage and barbaric of days. And what are we doing as the Christians are being led away to be devoured? This very body, the United Nations, adopted the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which declares that everyone has the right to manifest his religion or belief in teaching, practice, worship, and observance. In the World Summit Outcome, document of September 2005, paragraph 139, the United Nations declared that the international community has the responsibility to protect populations from genocide, ethnic cleansing, and crimes against humanity. So where are all the resolutions? Where are all the troops? Where are all the actions taken to protect the most persecuted people on earth? And where is the universal outcry? It is a strange and immoral silence, the same strange and immoral silence that allowed 6 million Jews to be delivered to their deaths. We must not repeat the mistake of the last century. Evil never stays put. The same darkness that destroyed 6 million Jewish lives would end up destroying over 60 million lives throughout the world. The evil that first warred against the Jewish people was a harbinger of what would overcome the earth. In the days when coal miners died of black lung disease, an answer was found in the caged canary. The canary was brought deep into the mines. If it grew sick and died, it would be the sign and the alarm that the air inside the mine was toxic. What happened to the caged canary was a harbinger of danger. The persecuted Christian is the caged canary of the modern world. The first target of evil, the sign and the alarm of a toxic evil in the world and a growing danger. If we don't deal with that evil when it targets others on distant shores, we'll surely deal with it when it targets us on our own shore. No civilization can call itself moral if it fails to defend its most defenseless against that which seeks to devour them. No nation can call itself good if it sits back and does nothing when the effects of evil murders the innocent. And no people can call themselves Christian if they watch passively on the sidelines as those who share the name of Messiah are oppressed and killed for their faith. If our faith consists of how comfortable and prosperous God can make us as we deafen our ears to the cries of those who are neither comfortable or prosperous, our brothers and sisters imprisoned and tortured for their faith, how can we bear the name Christian? On the day of judgment, we'll be asked, why did you do nothing to save them? And what will the answer be? It's written in the book of Hebrews, remember those who are in chains as in chains with them. So as we sit on our couches in front of our television sets in our air-conditioned homes, are we remembering our brothers and sisters who sit on stone floors of prison camps as they suffer for their faith? They would say to us now, do not forget us. Do not forget our suffering. Remember us. Remember us as our enemies come to take our lives. Remember us. Remember us. Do not forget that we once lived and we gave our lives for our faith and for Messiah. We can't forget them. We must remember them, and we must help them. What would you do if in your neighborhood a band of criminals take over a house next door to you and they're holding your neighbors hostage? What if every day they oppressed them, humiliated them, tortured them? What if every night you could hear through your windows their cries, their screams, and you did nothing? You didn't try to save them. You didn't tell your other neighbors and gather them to help. You didn't even bother to call the police. In the end, how would you be judged? There's only one answer. You would be judged as guilty and evil. And what if they didn't live next door but down the block? Or what if they lived a town away or a nation away or oceans away? Would it make any difference? Does geography in any way alter the charge of morality? It does not. So if men and women and children across the world are being held captive, beaten, tortured, and put in danger of death, and we know about it, and we hear their distant screams but choose to do nothing, then how will we in the end be judged? We will be judged likewise guilty. It's written on the day of judgment we'll either be upheld or condemned by the good or bad we did to God, to the Messiah. And when we ask him, when was it that we did good to you? Or when was it that we sinned against you? He will answer, when you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So if we refuse to get involved and help those who are the least of his brothers, what are we doing? We are refusing to help the Messiah. If we turn a deaf ear to their cries, we are turning a deaf ear to the cries of Messiah. And on that day, he will say to us, when my village burned down in Nigeria, why did you do nothing to help me? When I was in prison inside a labor camp in North Korea, why did you forget me? When ISIS came to kill my family, why did you not help us? And when I was tortured, when I was beheaded, when I was buried alive, when I was crucified, why did you ignore my cries for your help? Why did you let me perish? He will say, now depart from me, I never knew you. When that day comes, let it not be said of us that we heard the cries of God and did nothing to help him. In the time it takes us to hold this session, more people will be brutalized and killed. If it was your family about to be destroyed, if it was your life about to be taken, if it was your little child about to be beheaded, and others could help but chose not to, what would you think? Then let us do the only right and moral thing, as is written in the scriptures, deliver those who are being delivered to death. Let us not go down in the annals of history and in the judgment of God as the bystanders who saw the evil but did nothing to stop it, who heard the screams of the Kitty Genoveses of this world but chose to let them die outside our doors, who watched the cattle cars deliver the innocent to their deaths but chose to stay silent. Let us not be guilty of another Holocaust. Open up your windows. Hear the cries. Open up your doors. Open up your heart, your life, and whatever you have to do to save them, save them. Messiah is screaming. Messiah is being buried alive. Messiah is being beheaded. Messiah is being crucified again. Save him. Save the Messiah. For God's sake, do the right thing. Deliver those who are being delivered to death. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. And so the message that was delivered to them, I can tell you by the word of God that they won't do it. They will be held guilty because this world doesn't care about the lives of Christians. This world will care about everybody's life but the Christians. They'll care about the lives of every religion except the Christian religion. They will care about every persuasion of everybody's perversion, but they will not care about holiness. That's what the Word of God says. And that's why God will be coming back to deliver final judgment. So his plea before this body will not be heard, but the truth is, the Christian people are the most persecuted of all time, and yet no one talks about it. Now, I'm not upset about that, because that's what the Bible says it'll be. I'm not going to fight against that. I'm not going to demand for my rights, because then I'll be fighting against God. God says that the Antichrist is going to wear out the saints. I'm not looking to start a political party. I'm not looking to start an awareness campaign. There's not going to be a 10K run of save the church. That's up for me and you to pray and do what God has asked us to do. Clearly, we're supposed to stand with the persecution that's happening to them and to us, because all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, and that's in the United States and it's elsewhere. The world doesn't like Jesus. That's the truth. The world doesn't like God. The world doesn't like holiness. It's uncomfortable around it. And it denies God. And you can see this deception that is turning everything holy into something that is old-fashioned and wrong in this world. And it's denying the Lord who bought them. Christians even. So we must pray to be delivered from this deception. I want us to turn to Ezekiel 37, because we're going to be going through a time on this earth that is worse than any other that has ever been. And in case that's us, we need to be ready. We need to be ready. But this is our hope. This is our hope. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 37 and verse 1 says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones." Amen. "And he caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry." Been dead a long time. There were many, and they were very dry. "And he said, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know." Hallelujah. I thank God for that very verse. Just because, I mean, to the natural, of course, the answer is no. These bones can't live. They're dead. They're dry. There's nothing in them. There's no life in these bones. They've been dead for thousands of years. There is no life that can exist in these bones. But this man of God says, "God, you know, I don't." "And he said unto me," in verse 4, "Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus says the Lord, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The breath of life came in these bones once again. And this, saints, is the resurrection. This, saints, is the resurrection of the saints of God. And so when we say, death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? It's been taken away because there is no death in Jesus Christ, but always life. When those people take away their lives, we rejoice because they're in heaven now. Hallelujah. We rejoice because when those people have their heads cut off and their bodies thrown into the ocean, we can say with Jesus Christ, they're coming back, an exceeding great army. And their oppressors, unless they repent, will be very sorry. Very sorry. So there is no weeping for the death of a Christian, because precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. And this is what's foretold. Because there's nothing too difficult for God. He makes these bones to live. He makes these bones to live again, these dry bones. These dry bones. These poor, poor, I'm meaning not wealthy, poor Christians, uneducated Christians that have had their things stolen, their children stolen, their jobs withheld from them. You see, these stories aren't told in today's news. We'll talk about every injustice in the world except what happens to Christians. That's okay. Lord, have mercy. It's injustice, but that's okay. Lord, have mercy. God can do anything. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe that he was rose from the dead, if you believe that he is raising these dead people up again, and that there will be bones come upon bones, and sinews reconnected and skin overlap that, and the breath of life enter in again, and these people shall live, then how can you doubt about your current tiny little situation? How can you doubt about this little problem? If you truly believe that he's going to raise up people that died in the first persecution of Christians 2,000 years ago through crucifixion and lions and burnings and tortures, because he is, if you believe he's going to raise that one from the dead and give him life and skin and bone so that he can return with Christ, even according to the scripture, then how is it that God cannot deal with your problem? This is why Jesus said such things to us, the people on this earth, O you of little faith, how long must I bear with you? Because he says you don't understand the power of God. That's what he said to the Sadducees, even as they questioned his ability to raise from the dead. He said, you don't understand the power of God. This is the power of God. Ezekiel was saying, God, I don't know. You know. And God said, I will and I can. And I will do it. Hallelujah. This is the power of God. Go to your nearest cemetery and look around. Every one of them, good and bad, will be raising up. Some to resurrection of life and others to the dead. It doesn't matter when they were put there, new or old, they'll all be getting up. Hallelujah. That's the power of God. Saints, don't doubt him. Do not doubt the Lord Jesus Christ and his ability to deliver from your situation, which might be as dry as these bones. Some don't want to listen to what I'm saying. Some don't think that I know what I'm talking about. And that's okay. But I'm telling you that God has all power to deliver you from your situation, no matter how dry the bones seem to be. Trust and believe in him, and he will deliver. Hallelujah. Trust in him, he will deliver. Praise the Lord. Trust in him, and he will deliver. The same God that will make these dry bones live will speak into your life and make the dry bones live. Do you need restoration to your soul? Then this prayer is for you. Do you need healing? Then this prayer is for you. Do you need your mind to be renewed? Then this prayer is for you. Is there something wrong in relationships in your life? Then this prayer is for you. These dry bones shall live. Thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 9, and then we're going to pray. Amen. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3 says, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord. I mean, you see, saints, Daniel understood. We don't just go to God in arrogance and say, God, you're going to listen to me. How did Daniel seek supplications, fasting, sackcloth, ashes? We need to learn this more. What has this 140 days been? Because I'm just a crazy man? No. It's because I said, God, we need more from you. We're going to seek you consistently. And if God said we're going to do 140 more, then that's what we would do. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. I said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and the mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened or listened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs unto thee, but unto us confusion of face, as it is this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near, and to them that are far off, through the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongs confusion of face, to our kings and to our princes and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel has transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. This is how we started off here, in this prayer, and that's what we're going to start off tonight with. Because we as the body of Christ have sinned against the Lord. And we need to ask his forgiveness. Personally and collectively, we have been rebellious. Lord, have mercy. Let's pray. O Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, O Heavenly Father, that you would have mercy upon us. O Lord, righteousness belongs unto you, but unto us confusion of face, because we've rebelled against you. As a church, we rebelled against you. As a church, we stand here with confusion of face, without a voice on this earth the way that it needs to be, Lord, because we've rebelled against you as a church. And from time to time, and I pray not now, individually, Lord, forgive us. To you belong mercies and forgiveness, O Lord. Forgive us, O Lord, for we have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and we have rebelled. We have departed from your precepts and from your judgments. And we have not listened unto your word. Heavenly Father, forgive us. Forgive us as a church. Forgive us, O Heavenly Father. Cleanse us with the blood of Jesus. O Lord, in your word it says that if we will not do that which you've asked us to do, you will remove our candlestick, and the church candlestick removed in this day and time. there is a famine in this land from hearing the word of the Lord. There is a famine in this world from hearing the word of the Lord. And the candlestick has been removed. Lord Jesus, have mercy upon us and return the candlestick to its rightful place. Have mercy upon us and return to lead your people. Heavenly Father, provide this bread of heaven. Provide this bread that never runs out. Provide this bread that we will never hunger again. O Lord God, create in us living water that flows in an everlasting spring from which we will never thirst again. O Lord God, return unto your people. Magnify your name through your people. Don't leave us in Jesus' name. Cause your face to shine upon us for your sake. Open your eyes. Behold our desolations. Hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, take every dry bone that's in our life, every dry bone that is presenting itself as an obstacle. Take every mountain that needs to be removed and breathe your breath upon the situation and make the dry bones to live and make the mountains to be removed. Make the dry bones to live, Lord God, in your church, in your people, collectively and individually. Let the healings flow. In Jesus' name, remove the burden. In Jesus' name, fix that which is wrong. Heal that which is broken. Make the crooked straight and the rough places plain. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. O Lord, have mercy upon us and bless us with strength to overcome every trial, to have peace through struggle, and words of kindness to every evil word. In Jesus' name, let us not be mockers. But let the peace of Christ rule in our heart through every situation. O Lord God, let us be filled with this Holy Spirit, which will rain down righteousness. O Lord God, let the heavens open and let the blessings of God fall upon us and overtake us in Jesus' name. O Lord God, show us great and mighty things within our lives. Glorify your Son through our lives. Glorify your name through our lives. And Lord, let it be true that we will decrease so that you might increase. Increase in our heart. Increase in our life. Increase in us, O Lord God. Increase in Jesus' name. O Heavenly Father, do not pass us by. But come and visit. Come and fix that which is broken. Come and change that which is wrong. Create in us a clean heart, O Lord, and let our desires be the same as your desires. And let us accept that which you accept and reject that which you reject. O Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. create us a clean heart. Forgive, O Lord. Hearken and do. Defer not. Feed your children. Provide drink for your children. Provide deliverance from your children, for your children. Provide healing for your children. Provide manna for your children. And return our candlestick, Lord, that we can impact this world for the truth and not for mixture and not for lies and not for money, but for your sake and the sake of your gospel. In the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. For he will do these things which we've asked, even according to his word. For he says, if you ask something according to my will, it shall be done. We need to believe it, saints. We need to believe it. Amen. We need to believe it. And how can we doubt? For everything that we prayed is according to his will. I can guarantee you that. In Jesus' name. He doesn't want you to end your days in a trial. And something that's overcoming you. He wants you to overcome the trial. He wants you to overcome the trial. And so he will give you the grace to overcome it in Jesus' name. And I know what I'm talking about. He will give you the grace to overcome in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. His mercy endures forever. His name will be glorified forever. He is coming back, and he is going to do that which he said he will do. He is coming back very soon. So don't rest, don't sleep in the spiritual sense. Prepare the way, for the Lord is coming. Make sure that you have oil enough to wait. Make sure you have oil enough to wait. Don't be like the foolish virgins. Don't be like the foolish virgins. Hallelujah. Amen. Saints, we're gonna pitch it here for now. I believe that the heavens were open for that prayer. And I believe God is going to do even what he said he would do, which is answer those prayers. So, again, my encouragement, whatever God has put on your heart to do for these days, don't let up. Don't forget. Don't say, well, it's a tough time, and I keep pressing on. For God is changing our hearts as we earnestly seek him. Some have said, I don't need to seek him that way. But I'm telling you, this is the days that we need to seek to God. And after these 140 days, there's nothing special about these days. This is how people see God. How did Daniel see God? Prayers and supplications and fasting. Seek God, then seek him the same way. How do you think you know more than Daniel? How do you think you know more than anyone that's in the Word of God? This is how people throughout the Word of God sought him. When Jesus sought God, he said, fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Why do we think we know better? If you need God to move, then Get before him with your knee and on your hands and knees and say, God, I need you. And don't get up, saints. Figuratively and if need be, literally, until God says, okay, I've heard you. Head respect the cry. This is what God is teaching us. Don't give up asking, seeking, knocking. Asking, seeking, and knocking. Hallelujah. Until God has answered your righteous request. Amen. I read a passage where a man fasted and prayed for 100 days to receive a Bible in a land where there were no Bibles to be found. And God delivered him a Bible. 100 days, all he had was a bowl of rice. Every day, one bowl of rice, 100 days, fasting and praise. Say, God, give me a Bible. His family thought he was crazy. His family thought he had gone insane. God, give me a Bible, was his prayer. And God spoke to a man in another village and said, such and such was buried with the Bible. Go dig them up. Find the Bible and take it to my servant over here. He's wanting a Bible. Hallelujah. God delivered that man a Bible. 100 days, he said, fasting and prayer. God, give me a Bible. I need a Bible. And God delivered him the Bible. He is a God who answers righteous requests when we are sincere. Hallelujah. So saints, buckle down. Whatever you need of God, go to him in these 3 weeks, 4 weeks that we have left. God will do it. God will do it. And if he has a different timeline, keep asking. If he can deliver a Bible in a land where there are no Bibles because there was a dead man that was buried, one, God knows all those things and he makes them work. And his ears are attentive unto the cry of the righteous. So clean up your life. Get on your hands and knees. Get on your hands and knees and pray unto God. And he will do it. He will do it for you. He will do it for you. If he's done it for that man, he'll do it for you because God is no respecter of persons. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the God that we serve. Amen. By God's grace, we'll pick it up next week. And we'll continue on. And we'll find what God has for us. In Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus, we will.